This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
We begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we request praises and blessings upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. تقبل الله منا ومنكم صالح الأعمال. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our deeds, accept our first day and night of Ramadan. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in our second night and second day, and to accept that which has passed of our second night. Ameen ya rabbal alameen. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, today we completed Surah Al-Baqarah and we began Surah Al-Imran. And yesterday we spoke about Surah Al-Fatiha, and we postponed the discussion regarding Surah Al-Baqarah till today. Subhanallah, how long will we need to discuss Surah Al-Baqarah? For Surah Al-Baqarah, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, is indeed the longest surah in the Quran. And not only is it the longest surah in the Quran, but it is also the first surah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated from Mecca to Medina. It is a surah that is so large, its revelation spanned almost 10 years. And no doubt, as a result, it is a Madani surah. And because it is a Madani surah, it naturally carries an ocean of legislation. Because most of what we know of in terms of halal and haram, in terms of allowed versus disallowed, this was revealed after the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Mecca to Medina. Most of the pillars of Islam came to the Ummah after migration from Mecca to Medina. Most of the major sins, the kaba'ir, that which requires tawbah for one to be forgiven, they were made haram and forbidden after migration from Mecca to Medina. So through this, understand how critical and how important Surah Al-Baqarah is. In fact, its blessings go beyond just legislation. And of course, it contains the words of Allah, and it is part of the Quran, the timeless miracle. From its blessings is that those who practice black magic, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they cannot manage Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah, it breaks and annihilates black magic, this evil practice, the work of the shaytan and the devils. It is a surah that the shaytan and the devils fear greatly. And a home that is filled with Surah Al-Baqarah is a home that is free from shaytan and his army. Subhanallah. This is the power of Surah Al-Baqarah. Surah Al-Baqarah consists of 286 verses. And Imam Al-Wahidi, as I mentioned to you earlier, he explains that it was the first surah revealed after migration from Mecca to Medina. Now, yesterday we tried to, in the short time that we had, tie Surah Al-Fatiha to the rest of the Quran. And we said at the end of Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. And the scholars of tafsir say this refers to Banu Israel, those who Allah revealed much knowledge to, and Allah sent many prophets to. Subhanallah. They had so much going for them in terms of knowledge, but they chose arrogantly and stubbornly to go against the guidance that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ comes before وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. And as such, Surah Al-Baqarah is a tafsir of غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses Banu Israel in great length in Surah Al-Baqarah. In fact, in particular, verses 48 to 123 covers many of the realities of Banu Israel and why they eventually were decreed and declared to be a wretched people, meaning those who went against the teaching of Musa alayhi salam and the other prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent to them. Those who chose to go against the revelation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to them. For no doubt, those who followed, then they were submitters to Allah. And they were Muslims, if we use the term Muslim in the wider sense. Because the term Islam has a general application and it has a specific application. As for the general application, it includes all those followers of prophets that died upon the teachings of those prophets. And all those followers of prophets that believed in the next prophet when they met that next prophet. They were believers. They were Muslims as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in these verses, between verses 48 and 123, about the shirk of Banu Israel and how they worshipped the calf. And even after they saw the miracles that Allah gave Musa, and how they witnessed firsthand Musa alayhi salam being a means of their persecution, being lifted, their safety from Fir'aun. They saw firsthand the sea being split when Musa struck it with his stick. And he taught them that this was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite this, they worshipped the calf when Musa was at a distance from them. Allah tells us about their arrogance in interacting with revelation and changing things for the sake of change, just to be stubborn. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَبَدَّلَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا قَوْلًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي قِيلَ لَهُمْ. Inshallah, we'll discuss that just now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the stubbornness of Banu Israel. That when Musa alayhi salam gave them instructions and told them to do something, they would stubbornly refuse to listen to him. Or they would trouble him with useless questions. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaches us in the story of the cow. That story for which Surah Al-Baqarah is called Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also teaches us about their ungratefulness. That Allah gave them, He showered upon them blessings, but they were ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah saved them from Fir'aun. Allah bestowed upon them al-manna wa salwa. Al-man, scholars of tafsir have differed in terms of what it means, but they all agree that it is a type of food that is beloved to the people. And salwa, the meat of a bird, a small bird. And some say as-salwa refers to quail. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with these blessings, but still they manifested an ungrateful attitude towards their Lord subhanahu. And then Allah tells us about the argumentative character as well. For example, in Al-Baqarah 55, ayah number 55, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً. Allah says, and recall when you said, O Moses, we will never believe in you until we see Allah manifestly. We want to see Him. Subhanallah. As if the splitting of the sea wasn't enough. As if the miracles that Allah caused to descend upon Musa alayhi salam in front of the eyes wasn't enough. Their stubbornness was too manifest. They said, you know what? You've taught us a lot. We will not listen anymore until we see Allah. Iyanan, we want to see Him with our own eyes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in ayah number 59 of Surah Al-Baqarah how they would change for the sake of change. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with entrance into Palestine and He told them to enter and to say hitta, just a word. This was a word in their language to show submission, to show humbleness, to seek forgiveness because of their stubbornness and their arrogance. They added a letter. They changed for the sake of change. They added a noon to hitta and they went in saying hinta. Allah said, فَبَدَّلَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا قَوْلًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي قِيلَ لَهُمْ. We told them to say a qawl. We gave them a word to say. But for the sake of change, because of their stubbornness, they changed it. They changed for the sake of change. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, because of this behavior of theirs, because of this manifestation from them, Allah sent upon them those who were wronging themselves a punishment from the heavens, a punishment because of their defiant disobedience. Subhanallah. Take heed, O people of the Quran. In terms of the people of the Quran, Allah praises them in Surah Al-Ahzab. Because Allah says in Surah Al-Ahzab, وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. When Allah praises the believers, He says from the qualities of the believers is that they never changed anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed. They never blamed the system. They never blamed pressure. They never blamed society. They never blamed their whims and fancies. They never changed. They stuck true to what Allah revealed, even if it was difficult for them. They were true in their submission. And Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says, أُدْخُلُوا فِي السِّلْمِ كَافَّةً. Enter into Islam fully, wholly, Do not pick and choose. Do not be like the people of the book. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ As we heard in the Tarawih yesterday. That do you believe in part of the book? And part of the book you don't believe in? And that which you don't believe in, you're trying to change. You're changing. You adding words. You deleting words. And that can that happen with the previous scriptures. It can never happen with the Quran because Allah has promised to preserve the Quran. In ayah number 93, Allah says,
وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ وَرَفَعْنَا فَوْقَكُمُ الطُّورِ خُذُوا مَا آتَيْنَاكُمْ بِقُوَّةٍ وَاسْمَعُوا
Allah says, and recall when we took the covenant and raised the mountain over you. Allah revealed the Torah to them. Take the Torah. They were stubborn with regards to this. When Allah raised the mountain, take the Torah or the mountain is going to fall upon you. Then they started interacting with it. But even after they took it, Allah says, قالوا, they said, سمعنا, we have heard, وعصينا, and we will disobey. This was the way of Banu Israel. This wasn't the way of the people of the Quran. So Allah takes us to this journey, teaching us time and time again, O Ummah of Muhammad, the reality of غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ Allah doesn't become angry for nothing. Allah's anger descended upon them. And we explain in Surah Al-Baqarah why they are غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ in Surah Al-Fatiha. Allah tells us about the story of the cow. And Imam Al-Baghawi says the backdrop to this story is that a person from Banu Israel was rich. And he had a cousin who was waiting for him to die to take his inheritance. But Allah blessed this person with life and with health. So the cousin took the matters into his own hands and killed this person. And then he carried the body to a foreign village, a foreign people, and he dumped it in the open space. And then he obviously cried wolf, as they say. He made a noise about it. He demanded the physical retribution, the right of the heirs when someone is murdered. And today we heard the ayat of Al-Qisas, physical retribution. When this matter was brought to Musa alayhi salam, he didn't know how to solve this problem because nobody was owning up to the murder. And obviously nobody would because nobody was guilty except the person himself who was demanding physical retribution or Al-Qisas. They said, make dua to Allah. Musa made dua to Allah. Allah revealed that they should slaughter a cow. When Allah revealed slaughter a cow, they said to him, are you making fun of us? Are you insulting us? Are you speaking to us in a manner that belittles our intelligence? This is who they were. Allah is telling us who they were. Why would Allah give us these details? And a surah of 286 verses is named Surah Al-Baqarah because of this incident, subhanAllah. This is what they said to Musa. Now, someone might say, but you know what? Maybe they had, you know, a plausible reason too. Because we're talking about murder and Musa is saying slaughter a cow. What's the relationship between the two? It doesn't make sense. But this is Musa alayhi salam. For you to be able to easily say this to your prophet shows you that you have a track record of disobeying this prophet, a track record of belittling this prophet, a track record of being disobedient to this prophet. Do you think a son who disobeys his father in public, that's the first time that disobedience has happened? It only happens when there is a history of it, when there's a record of it, when there's a habit of it. This was the reality of Banu Israel. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah takes us to this journey. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us to the transition. Towards the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, towards the end of the first juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings to us the realities in terms of the common realities between us and Banu Israel. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to us the prophets of Allah, that which is shared. Ibrahim wa Ismail wa Ishaq wa Yaqub wa al-Asbat wa ma utiya Musa. Allah mentions to us these prophets. That these are the relationships that you have, the commonalities between you. The prophets that they believe in are the prophets that you believe in. Or the prophets that they were told to believe in are the prophets that you believe in. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us to the Qibla, the discussion of the Qibla. Because the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians and the Muslims, they shared one Qibla. And that Qibla was Baytul Maqdis, Jerusalem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clear it of all oppression and clear it of all filth. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Subhanallah. the filth of a people who say, as Allah tells us in the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, when you tell them, لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, do not sow corruption on the land. قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُسْلِحُونَ. They say, no, we are not sowers of corruption. We are only people who are forward thinking. We are people who are liberators. We are the modernists. We are not backwards. We are fixing things. Allah says, أَلَا إِنَّهُمْ هُمُ الْمُفْسِدُونَ, that indeed this is Allah's testimony upon them, that they are indeed the corruptors and the sowers of oppression of the land. SubhanAllah, may Allah save us from ever being upon wrong, believing that we are upon right. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes us to the end of the first juz, then to the beginning of the second juz, and He introduces to us this new qibla, Al-Masjid Al-Haram. This desire in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to face Masjid al-Ka'bah in his worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him this. Why this transition? Why this transition? Because the ultimate foundation of the existence of this life is Tawheed. And the only people on earth who are supporting Tawheed without question were the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those who believed in him. So to clear any misconceptions, any confusion, Allah gave the only people who were supporting Tawheed a qibla that was true and unique to themselves. فَوَلِّ وَجْهَكَ شَطْرَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Allah commanded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the believers to turn their facing towards al-Masjid al-Haram. SubhanAllah. After this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts showering upon the Ummah of Muhammad in the remainder of Surah Al-Baqarah, the system of Tawheed. And we heard this in the verses that were recited today. Allah began it as Sheikh Shu'ib began, لَيْسَ الْبِرُّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ, that righteousness, piety, is not about facing the east or the west. It's not about facing Masjid al-Haram or facing Bayt al-Maqdis. This is not where righteousness is. Righteousness is in manifesting righteousness. Righteousness is in manifesting the Tawheed for which you face these directions. The belief in one Allah for which you face these directions. It's not enough that you just face, but your actions are contrary to the reason for your facing. What you face is a mere direction, and you only face it because of submission to Allah. Allah told you to face it. Just like you go around the Kaaba in an anti-clockwise manner, even though you might say it makes sense to go around the Kaaba in a clockwise manner. Why do you do that? It's not about whether it's clockwise or anti-clockwise. It's about doing it because Allah told you to do it. You go around the Kaaba 7 times. Why not 6? Why not 8? It's not about the number. It's about doing 7 because Allah told you to do 7. Allah says, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرُّ وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرُّ, as our Imam recited. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرُّ, but righteousness, مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ, who truly believes in Allah. وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ, and he believes in the last day. وَالْمَلَائِكَ, he believes in the angels. وَالْكِتَابِ, he believes in the books. وَالنَّبِيِّينَ, he believes in the prophets. And then Allah tells, وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّ, and he's charitable. He gives his wealth. SubhanAllah. And may we practice on this verse today in terms of the call of the masjid, because the masjid is looking for 1,000 people, right? 250 people. To raise £1,000 for which we can expand the masjid. And we've seen how full the masjid has been, subhanAllah. Both the sister section and the brother section. So perhaps we can answer the call of this verse today that we heard in the salah by signing up bi'ithnillahi ta'ala. Allah says, this is birr. By spending from that which you love. Why does Allah mention money? Because subhanAllah, as human beings, we give some of ourself to gain this wealth. So it's as if this wealth becomes a twin of the self. To give it up is like giving a piece of you and me. Giving a piece of ourselves. And that's why they call it my sweat and blood. I put my sweat and blood to earn that money. It's as if you gave something of you for it. Allah wants you to give it for His sake. Allah mentions this in this verse. At the beginning now, as the verses pour down of the system of Tawheed, Allah begins here. Then Allah takes us to al-qisas, physical retribution, to matters pertaining to inheritance and the will. Then He takes us to the laws of fasting, then the laws of itikaf, and then He takes us to the laws of hajj, and the laws of marriage, and divorce, and and khula', and talaq, and laws after laws, subhanAllah, alcohol, and gambling, and menses, and the crescent.
law after law Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing throughout Surah Al-Baqarah until we ended with our Qari and Hafiz Hamdala. He was reciting the verses of riba, subhanallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this haram as well. So verses were revealed across the length and breadth of the life of this world. Be it marriage, be it interaction, be it money, be it transactionally. Everything you can think of, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealing verses about this. And then He balances it, as the Quran is indeed a book of balance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala balances it at the end of the second juz with the story of Dawood and Jalut. To mention to this ummah that your izzah is in following Allah's law. Your izzah is not in your financial standing. Your honor and your strength is not in your financial standing. It's not in your material well-being. It's not in your numbers. Follow the system of tawheed that Allah is revealing. Whether it makes sense to you or not, whether the people laugh at you or they don't, follow it. He gives us the story to balance things. And then He moves us into surah, into the third juz, and He reveals to us an introduction to Him. As He introduced Himself at the beginning of the Quran in Surah Al-Fatiha. Where does He do this? We said Surah Al-Fatiha is the greatest chapter of the Quran. He brings to us the greatest verse of the Quran. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. Verse after verse, He reintroduces Himself to His servants. Those who He is revealing legislation upon. He is revealing laws upon. That in case you feel overwhelmed, don't forget who your Lord is. And don't forget to try. Because it's not about how small your act of kindness is. It's about the greatness of the one who your act of kindness is dedicated to. This is the reality. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't be overwhelmed with what we're revealing to you. But rather submit to the best of your ability. And we find this in the sunnah, for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُ. That if you commanded to do something, then come to it in the best, meaning to the best of your abilities. There's so much to say, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, and there's so little time. And I know we have school tomorrow and other matters, but Surah Al-Baqarah is Surah Al-Baqarah. And sometimes when you stand at the minbar and you're talking about the Quran, and then you're in the month of the Quran, you have a dilemma. Do we give precedence and weight to the norms of the people, or do we tell the people, this is your jihad for 1 month, be patient, this month is the month of the Quran, let's just give the Quran what it deserves? Alas, we don't live in a perfect world. Let me end by tying a few things together for us to see, subhanallah, how perfect this Quran is. We said Allah revealed Surah Al-Baqarah across 10 years, but subhanallah, if you had an author who wrote a book across 10 years, you would see difference in the writing. You would see maturity towards the end of the book, a type of writing at the end that doesn't exist at the beginning. And you would find in it contradiction, because across 10 years, you'll forget what you wrote in a previous chapter. In Surah Al-Baqarah, there's no contradiction. In Surah Al-Baqarah, the prose, the eloquence is static. It's constant, subhanallah. It's perfect as it was, and it's perfect from its beginning, and it's perfect at its ending. And subhanallah, this is only testimony that it's come from one perfect source, the Lord of the worlds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only is it perfect in that, but how it ties itself together. We spoke about the tanasub, the suitability between Surah Al-Fatiha and Surah Al-Baqarah. Imagine a surah revealed across 10 years and the suitability between its beginning and its middle and its end. At the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. You read Surah Al-Fatiha, and you asked Allah in Surah Al-Fatiha. You said, Ya Allah, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. Guide me to the straight path. Then you had a question. Where do I find the knowledge of the straight path? Allah opens Surah Al-Baqarah and teaches you. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابِ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is a book in which there's no doubt. It is a guide for who? The people of taqwa. Then you asked, who are the people of taqwa? What are the qualities of the people of taqwa? Allah tells you at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. The first quality of theirs is they believe in the unseen. It's nothing of, if it makes sense to me, I will believe. And if I don't see it, I won't believe. If I don't touch it, I won't believe. You believe in the unseen. That is belief. وَيُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ. And they observe the salah. Again then, وَمِمَّا رَزَقَنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. And you spend. You spend from the wealth that you put your sweat and blood in earning for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what Allah says at the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, as we heard from Hafiz Hamdala, he teaches us that after we taught you that Allah has a knowledge with no coast, understand that Allah's ownership of everything that exists exists with no boundaries. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. That for Allah is everything in the heavens and the earth. Subhanallah. Look at this tying together. Surah Al-Baqarah was full of knowledge, 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 knowledge. And you think, Subhanallah, how vast is the knowledge of Allah? Allah says, Allah's knowledge is vast. But understand, His dominion is vast as well. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. At the beginning of Surah Al-Baqarah, we spoke about the qualities of the people of taqwa. They believe in the unseen, they pray their salah, and what do? They spend from their wealth. Ah, at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says that the believers, كُلٌّ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَكُتُبِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ. Subhanallah. كُلٌّ آمَنَ. All the believers, they believe بِاللَّهِ, in Allah, وَمَلَائِكَ, and His angels, وَكُتُبِ, and His books, وَرُسُلِ, and His messengers. And regarding the believers, لَا نُفَرِّقُ بَيْنَ أَحَدٍ مِّن رُسُلِ. They do not pick and choose between the messengers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. They believe that if we disbelieve in any one messenger, then this is disbelief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Different to Banu Israel, وَيَقْتُلُونَ النَّبِيِّينَ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. Allah would send them prophet after prophet and they would kill them. They would murder them. Allah would send them a prophet by dawn, by zawal, janazah. Subhanallah. This was their behavior with their prophets. Regarding the followers of Muhammad, لا نفرق بين أحد من رسلي. We said regarding the followers of Musa, what did they say? قالوا سمعنا وعصينا. We hear and we disobey. Allah tells us at the end of Surah Al-Baqarah the qualities of the believers. The qualities of the believers, they say, وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. We hear and we obey. It's different to Banu Israel. You see, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, the Quran is all about growth. Allah introduces to us Banu Israel and teaches us why they were wrong and how they went wrong. And then Allah brings to us our identity, the identity of Iman, the followers of Muhammad, those who believe without reservation. And then Allah reveals the laws that you might feel, Subhanallah, is too difficult. I'm trying to believe in Allah. I'm holding on in terms of my belief of Allah, and the laws are coming one after the other, one after the other. Islam is not just belief in Allah, it's an entire way of life. Allah didn't just reveal belief, He revealed the system of belief. But Allah tells us it's sustainable. For those who want it to be. For those who want it to be. Why? Because at the end of the journey, Allah tells us who the believers are. They are the ones who believe in everything that Allah has revealed. And they are the ones who proudly say, we hear and we obey. Surah Al-Baqarah is about growth. It takes you on a journey. But the end of that journey is one that brings to us an action point. And that is the importance of growing from our knowing. Subhanallah. That you learn about Allah and you grow as a result. You know about Allah and you grow as a result. Your stubbornness with regards to His commands reduces. Your argumentative behavior with regards to the truth reduces. Your ability to be grateful to Allah, not only in speech but in your action by practicing what He told you to do, increases. You know that this is me thanking Allah by doing what He told me to do. Sometimes when it comes to charity, people feel shaitan comes to you and promises you faqr. Allah says, "Ash-shaytanu ya'idukumul faqr wa ya'murukum bil fahsha." Shaitan comes and he falsely promises you poverty. He says, "You'll be poor. You need that money. Don't do it." Allah says about the believers, they have tawakkul in Allah. They believe in the unseen. They know the money is from Allah. What I'm meant to eat, I will eat. If it's meant for me, I will do. Allah says, وَيُنْفِقُونَ, they spend. وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ, they spend from that which we have given them. You grow from it, that I learned this about my Lord. He taught me this about myself. The end result of it is, وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا. And that is why the standing of the Ansar, and this is the last thing I will say, was a mighty standing. Especially at the time of Badr, which wasn't meant to be a battle. But it ended up being a battle. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being who he was, he was the ultimate leader. Even though they pledged allegiance to him, he could have told them, this is what we're going to do, and there's no questions that anyone can ask. He knew that I took them out of Medina not to fight. So he sat them down in a shura, a mutual consultation, that let me try and hear their view. Let me try and understand the sentiment and the mood. And he's bringing up the discussion in one way or the other. Until the head of the Ansar stands up and says, it is as if, Ya Rasulullah, you are asking us for our opinion. If you go out to fight, what's our view about it? If we will be with you? And he said, words that are recorded in golden ink. Words that will be read until the day of Qiyamah. They're all messenger of Allah. We will not be like the followers of Musa and Banu Israel. When they were commanded, they said, what did they say? Sami'na wa asayna. That we will hear and disobey. We will be those who sami'na wa ata'na. We will hear and we will obey. We will not be like those who said, you and your Lord go and fight. We are going to sit here comfortably. Rather, we will say to you, if you say we should go and fight, it will be you and us, Ya Rasulullah. We will go and fight for the sake of our Lord. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the growth needed from Surah Al-Baqarah. What a momentous moment that Allah has given us, and it's only the second of Ramadan, the second night of Ramadan, and the night is still young, subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make Surah Al-Baqarah be a part of our life. A surah revealed over 10 years, subhanallah. It took some of the Sahaba 10 years, some say 12 years, some say 8 years to memorize the surah. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And when we say memorize, it's not memorize its words, but its words with its meanings. May Allah grant us the meanings and the sweetness of Surah Al-Baqarah. May He accept our past, inspire our futures, and bless what remains of Ramadan, and make us from the family of Al-Quran. Ameen, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Hada wallahu a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam, wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.